Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for Sunday Morning Alive right here on our website, a Sunday morning sermon. We're so glad that you've joined us this Sunday morning, this after Thanksgiving Sunday, and I pray that your Thanksgiving day will be every day if you are a child of God because of what Jesus has done and for us at the cross, on the cross, and how eternity we will continue to praise Him and be grateful throughout all eternity for what He's done for us when He paid our sin debt in full on the cross. Amen. I used to love a song, before we announce our title, I used to love a song that I would hear when we would get up on Saturday morning sometimes and on Sunday afternoon. I love to tell the story. It was written, I think, at the turn of the century. I want to read you a lyric from that. I can still hear the melody of that on the radio. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. And we can't tell that story, this great truth of the gospel, this good news, unless the cross of Christ is the centerpiece of it. So the title of our message today is No Cross, No Gospel. I want to make that very clear today. Amen. You can preach Jesus all day long. You can preach the resurrection. You can preach all kinds of things about the historical Jesus. But if without His vicarious death, substitutionary death for us on the cross, there is no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. This is the centrality of the cross. That's why no cross, no gospel. Listen to it out of 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Not only the cross, but the declaration of it, the preaching of it, and all of the blessings and benefits that flow from it to those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. I like the Amplified. It said, for the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition. But unto us, to us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, why? Because the cross of Christ is not just the declaration of Christian victory. It is, in fact, the declaration of Satan's defeat, his utter defeat. That's why all hell opposes the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross proclaims Jesus' victory in our behalf. It means the lost can be saved. The prisoner can go free. Sin's power can be broken and the grave can be conquered. Death has been defeated, the gates of hell shattered, all because Satan has been defeated at the cross. Praise God. Listen, friend, let me read you a scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. We'll stop at some point. The Apostle Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is the message of the cross. Listen. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of Spirit and power. Now, I'm Pentecostal today. I am Spirit-filled. I have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, washed in the blood of Jesus. I preach under an anointing that goes with the appointing to preach. If you're truly called to preach, there's an anointing that goes with it. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're called to be a king, then the horn of oil is poured over your head, just like it was with David. Praise God. With the appointing comes the anointing. But there's an anointing on the message, not just the messenger. Listen, I want to read this again. Make sure we see the centrality of the cross. We could be laying hands on people in a prayer line and people falling out under the power of God, and that's a manifestation of the anointing of God. But I want you to know something today. There is an anointing on the Word of God, and it's on the centrality of the cross and the centrality of Christ to the gospel. If there's no cross, there is no good news. If he had failed that crucial mission, there would be no good news to bring. There would be no message of hope for a lost and dying world. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I refuse to get off in a tangent. I'm going to keep my message clear. I'm going to make it clear what the message is. Amen. Because my speech and my teaching in verse 4 was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You see, not just the anointing with which he preached, but the message that he brought. What was the message? I don't want to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. A preacher friend of mine was attending church while he was between pastorates, and he said, you know, my pastor called me all upset over something he heard on the news, and I kind of dread church this morning because I know he's going to preach what upset him about what upset him so much. There's a danger in letting our emotions get in the way and letting them lead us away from the central message. The only message that is good news to this lost and dying world. The preaching of the cross is not passé. It's not an antiquated message. We don't need to edit it. We don't need to reassemble it, disassemble it, and reassemble it in a satisfying way to the culture. We need to preach Jesus and Him crucified. That's why there's so much of an uproar, and if it's not just from the world, this is within the church world. Heard of a song leader recently who lost her job. She was setting up the songs for the worship service and great songs of the faith concerning the cross and the blood of Christ. And the pastor says, we don't need any, it's distasteful. Someone will be offended. And aren't you sick and tired of so many people being offended with the cross, with the blood of Jesus? Are you kidding me? We were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb. When we begin to magnify Jesus and glorify God as we do, amen, we understand the place, the power, and the preciousness of the blood of Jesus in our salvation. For without the shedding of blood, there is no more sacrifice for sin. Had he not completed that mission to go to the cross and stay on that cross long enough to pay our sin debt, no one through any means could ever hope to be saved. That's how critical this message is, and that's why the Apostle Paul said, I'm not going to preach something that upset me this week. I'm not going to preach something that the culture wants to hear, or something that certain elements of the congregation may want me to really strongly bring. I don't want to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. Praise God. Dear friend of mine, I tell people a lot of times to tell other people that are under my ministry here, the influence of it. 50 years coming up, being the pastor, president, director, / evangelist, and I still am cross-eyed and narrow-minded. Amen. Cross-eyed because I'm still preaching the cross and all of its victory, all of its glory, all of its transcendent power. Praise God. It is the power of God unto salvation. I love to see God heal and deliver, set free, and above all, save and set free the lost. But dear friend of mine, I want you to know when I preach the gospel, I want to make sure that we're not just trying to get an emotional response from the audience, but we're preaching the message, the central message to the gospel, and that is Jesus and Him crucified for every blessing, including the greatest of all, forgiveness of sin, being reconciled unto God. Every message of any kind, shape, or form of blessing flows from what Jesus did on that cross. That's why Paul said in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "In my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power." I want to say it again and underscore it. Not just the anointing with which he preached, but the message that he brought. Praise God. Listen to verse 5, "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings like nothing else can do. Song leader lost her job. She had to give it up. She had to resign because the pastor forbid her to sing about the blood of Jesus Christ. That's not an isolated event. It is not an aberration. It has been happening. It's continuing to happen as we try to decentralize Christ and the cross from the gospel message. This God is love and this universal salvation message that's coming out of that. Forget about His vicarious death, His vicious death upon the cross. Let's just talk about God's love for the world and how that, oh yeah, He died to save the world. Now let's shelve that. Let's don't talk about these gory, bloody, oh, you can talk about blood. You can talk about gore on every action movie, on every horror movie. We can't get enough blood. We can't get enough gore. But when it comes to the blood of Jesus and the cross of Christ, somehow we don't want to be offended. We want to sit in some kind of little bubble at church and pretend that it didn't take this kind of suffering and death to save us. No wonder the devotion to Him is so shallow in so many Christian lives, because it's at the cross where we are broken. It's at the cross where we lay down our rights. It's at the cross where we become so devoted that we are willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross in order to follow Him. Oh, friend of mine, I love to tell the story, and I'm still telling it today. I am indeed cross-eyed. I don't want to know anything among any group of people except Jesus and Him crucified. We need to get back to the preaching of the central message of the gospel. Because if we variate, if we keep moving into these tangents, if we keep, in fact, letting the world press us into its mold, if we keep giving place to the people who will not endure sound doctrine, but They want to hear a message that satisfies them. If we keep giving in to the culture, giving in to parts of the church world that are part of the falling away, part of the compromised, part of those making concessions to the world, and we're trying to bring a message that it straddles the fence, a message that pleases the world and pleases certain elements of the congregation and displeases God completely. A message that has within it no power to save. Listen, this message has the power to save. Listen, that's why they didn't even tell them to quit talking about God, preaching about God, teaching about God. They specifically told the early apostles to not preach or teach in His name, Jesus' name, anymore. Threatened them with death and would have killed them, the book of Acts said, if it wasn't for that they feared the people because they could not deny that a lame man who never had walked ran into the temple running and leaping and praising God. Now that's a demonstration of God's delivering power, but it is the message of the cross that has the stronger and heavier anointing, because that man who went in leaping and praising God would split hell wide open if he doesn't go further than just being healed by the power of God, that he might come to Christ and know through the message that is the manifestation of the power of God. Yes, I said the message. Let me read it again from the Amplified. For the story and message of the cross is sheer absurdity and folly to those who are perishing and on their way to perdition, on their way to hell. But unto us who are being saved, it is the manifestation of the power of God. That's why the Bible said that, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ on the cross, reconciling the world unto Himself. The whole story of redemption is summed up and comes to its full representation when Jesus hung on that cross until He was able to say, Tetelestai, which being interpreted is, it is accomplished, it is finished. The Bible speaks of Christ triumphing over Satan in it, literally in the cross. Praise God. Listen, this means that sin's power is broken over them that believe on Jesus Christ. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin, that means live habitually in, unconvicted, unconcerned about that, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. This is not sinless perfection or legalism. It means that when someone comes to Christ because of what He's done on the cross, we can be born again. We can have a new nature imparted to us by the Holy Spirit. And we have been in that point of faith in our life in Christ. We have been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And His seed, the Scripture said, remaineth in us. There's an imparting of God's nature to us, the changing of our old sinful nature. It doesn't mean we don't struggle with our weak flesh. It doesn't mean we never stumble. It does mean that we have a bent toward righteousness because we have been born again, spiritually regenerated. Praise God. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Praise God. So he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Listen, when Jesus died, He destroyed the works of the devil. This is why He appeared. This is why He came to go to the cross. Now here we are going into the Christmas season. And the emphasis, once again, the spotlight, because of His first advent, His coming in order to go to the cross, to be born of a virgin, to be born, lay in a manger. Oh, friend, and of course the spotlight is going to be on that baby in the manger. And this peace, child, this peace on earth reigning over and over again, as if when that child laid in that manger, suddenly the earth became a peaceful place. No, peace was going to be provided, but not because He lay in the manger, and not because He stayed in the manger, but because He grew to full manhood. And at 33 years of age, He let them take Him to the cross. And He stayed on the cross for 6 suffering, grueling, pain-filled, sorrow-filled hours until He could cry while suffocating, while bleeding out, "Tetelestai." It is accomplished. Praise God. I love that song that says, "Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend." That's why Thanksgiving isn't over for the Christian. Today, I'm as thankful for the cross as I was yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. And I believe we're going to be thankful for the Christ, the Jesus who died for us on that cross throughout all eternity. I don't think we're going to ever get over being saved because of what He did in our behalf. And He did it at the cross. Listen, the word destroy here doesn't mean to annihilate. It means to render powerless. Like a mighty machine that has lost its power, when Jesus died on the cross, He pulled the plug on Satan. Hallelujah. Listen, in this present age, Satan seems to be very powerful, but he can do nothing without God's express permission. He's like Samson, shorn of his locks, unable to do anything on his own. Listen, I love what one preacher said. I think it was R.W. Shambach years ago. "Satan goeth about as a roaring lion, but Christ pulled his teeth at Calvary." Hallelujah. Brother Christel, if you hear this message, you may remember that. Listen, friend of mine, he went on to say, though, with a broken heart, the tragedy is that Satan, a toothless lion, is gumming too many Christians to death. We need to understand what happened when Jesus seemed to be such a victim of Satan's anger and ire on that cross, so helpless. Oh, friend of mine, he was bruising Satan's head the whole time. Praise God. Listen, the day will come when Satan's utter defeat will be revealed to the universe, and those who followed him will discover that they were following a toothless lion. Let me read it from the Amplified here. 1 John 3, "But he who commits, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done." Satan's influence to sin is broken. His works are destroyed in the believer's life through Christ's victory at the cross. 1 John 5:18, listen to it carefully. "But whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that evil one touches him not. Listen, if we don't give place to the devil, dear friend, if we don't give place to the devil, and the word place in the Greek is terra firma. It literally means ground. If we don't give place to the devil, ground to the devil, he can't take any from us. That evil one touches him not. 1 John 5:19 goes on to say, and we know that we're of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, literally under the control, the power, the influence of the evil one. Listen, Satan's power over us is broken. We no longer live under his controlling influence. God's holy seed is now in us, a brand new nature. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad to be thankful today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, demons were disarmed when Jesus died on that cross. Yes, there we argue. We do not argue against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. But we have been granted, because of the cross, hallelujah, God's armor, to take the whole armor of God upon us. Amen. Colossians 2:15 declares this, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. To disarm someone means to take them by the means, from them the means by which they might hurt you. If a man has a gun pointed at you, he's not disarmed until you take the gun away from him. As long as he has the gun and sufficient ammunition, you're in big trouble. When Jesus died on the cross, friend, he took the guns and ammo out of the hands of the demons, and he publicly humiliated them. Picture the Roman legions returning from a successful war. One commentator on this said, listen, as they enter the city, vast throngs of women and children line the streets. On and on they march, a seemingly endless parade. Then come the victorious generals, each one accompanied by singers, dancers, and musicians. Finally, at the end of the procession, you spot a long line of weary, dirty, emaciated men. Their hands are tied. They shuffle one after another. They are defeated soldiers, now brought back to be displayed as proof of Rome's invincible power. Hallelujah. Somebody give me an amen in this audience. When Jesus died, something tremendous happened in the spiritual realm. Although it was invisible to the naked eye, it was seen by all the angels and the Old Testament saints. They watched as Jesus, like a conquering Old West hero, entered the eternal regions, disarmed the bad guys one by one. Then he marched them in full view of his heavenly Father, so that every created being would know that he had won the ultimate victory. This means that although demons have great power, they've been disarmed and cannot harm us, listen, unless we rearm them by our sinful compromises. Don't give any place to the devil. And by the authority of Jesus' name and the authority of the Word of God, he has no authority to take ground from you. Though they attack us, if we will use the shield of faith provided for us, every fiery dart will be quenched. Some Christians live in an unnecessary fear of demonic forces because they've never understood this victory that occurred at the cross and that Jesus won in our behalf. On the other hand, some believers suffer oppression because they nurse wrong attitudes and dabble with evil. That's like giving the devil a loaded gun and saying, why don't you just go ahead and shoot me? Listen, if you give place to him, believe me, he's going to take advantage of that opportunity. He'll be very happy to oblige you. The Bible said, submit yourself unto God. Hallelujah. Resist the devil from this position, this posture of total devotion to God and to Christ. And he will what? He will flee from you. The book of James says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils believe and tremble. Listen, the devil trembles when because he fully knows his defeat was accomplished. That's why he doesn't want the cross preached. Not even in any semblance. He wants it canceled out. Talk about God's love all day long, God's power all day long. But don't talk about God's person who he sent to redeem us, Jesus Christ. Don't preach or teach in that name. And don't preach or teach through him the resurrection from the dead. And don't preach or teach what he accomplished on the cross in our behalf. Praise the Lord. Amen. Finally, we learn that a result of the cross, Satan's doom is now guaranteed. In 1 John 12, verse 31, Jesus declared, now the prince of this world will be driven out. In John 16, 11, he adds, the prince of this world now stands condemned. And we learn of Satan's final end in Revelation 20 and verse 10, and the devil who deceives them was thrown into the lake of fire, burning sulfur. There he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Martin Luther, in the lyrics to A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, sums up the eternal truth of Satan's absolute defeat and our absolute victory. I love this song. Let me close with this in our closing moments. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus. It is he. Lord Sabbath is his name. From age to age the same, and the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. Praise God. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. What is that one little word? That one little word that brings the devil down. It is the name of Jesus Christ. He fought the fight. He stood his ground. On the cross, he utterly defeated Satan in our behalf and proved it by rising from the dead. Jesus is our victory over Satan. Jesus is our victory over sin and self. Jesus is our victory over the world. Christ's death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection is the core of the gospel and the source of all victory. Do you feel overwhelmed sometimes? Do you feel outnumbered? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel discouraged or in despair? Listen, claim Christ's victory at the cross. Oh, friend, I still love to tell the story of God's love, but not just that He loves the world, but He loved the world enough to make a way for us to be reconciled unto Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Dear friend of mine, the message of the cross has no value, no meaning to those who are lost and on their way to perdition, on their way to judgment, on their way to hell, ultimately. But when someone turns around, embraces the cross by coming to Christ, repenting of our sin and receiving Him as our Savior, we are promised that God will forgive us. We will be reconciled unto Him because of it and because of Him who hung on it, the cross. Plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus today and come to Christ. Don't go deeper into the darkness. Don't go in deeper into sin and its shackles and its bondage and its eternal consequences. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And today, if you're a Christian, stand in the finished work of Jesus. Stand and stand true and stand firm. Stand your ground and don't give any ground to the devil, because in the name of Jesus, he has no authority over you. Don't rearm him through compromise. Come on, let's take a stand today. Jesus is coming soon. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. How about you? God bless you today. We love you today. We appreciate you. Tell someone else about these broadcasts if you believe it would be a blessing to them. Be a media missionary and help us get the good news, the preaching of the cross, to a lost and dying world.